Welcome to Module 7 of the Supplements Explained Masterclass. I'm your host and natural health researcher, Nathan Crane, and in this module, plant-based dietitian Juliana Hever shares with you the truth about weight loss. What you're going to learn is that there is no single supplement that magically makes your weight disappear, and you should not waste money on weight loss gimmicks because they don't work. She will share with you her three-step plan for real and sustained healthy weight loss, and she makes it easy for you to understand and implement it in your life. Juliana is a well-respected dietitian, helps thousands of women lose weight sustainably, and is the author of 7 books, including The Health Span Solution and the Choose You Now Diet, Lose Weight for the Last Time with a Proven Plan. So if you're ready to lose weight and feel great, let's get right to it.
Hello, hello. My name is Juliana Hever. I'm known as the plant-based dietitian. I just published my 7th book on plant-based nutrition. This one was focused on weight loss, and I love to help people find amazing transformation with their diet because diet is the number one cause of early death and disability in the world now. It is so important. You are quite literally what you eat. And there are extraordinary things that happen when you choose a diet based on whole plant foods and change a little bit of things in your lifestyle. And it's just amazing the things that I've witnessed over the almost 17 years in this field at this point. So today I want to talk about eating a healthy diet and just thinking about your lifestyle in a different way and giving you the power to choose your lifestyle and your health and to basically be in the driver's seat of your future and optimizing your health as best you can. We have so much power with what we put on the end of the fork. And if you are out there and you are thinking you're missing something or you're buying the latest fads and trends and supplements, pills, potions, powders, all those promises that you hear out there, I'm here to tell you that it can be so much simpler. And optimal health really does result from very simple choices and sticking to a healthy diet of vegetables, fruits, whole grains, legumes, mushrooms, nuts, seeds, herbs, and spices in infinite, tasty, wonderful combinations. That is the number one thing you can do to take the driver's seat back, to take ownership and control and be in power of your destiny with your health. It really is the most extraordinary thing that you can do this yourself. So I'm here to tell you that you're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. You haven't missed something out there, some fancy trend or fad that's going to change your life. Really, it comes down to what you eat every day. Is there a such thing as a magical supplement to just poof, take away all of that extra weight? And boy, if that was out there, I've been looking for it my entire life. And the good news and the bad news is, no, there really isn't. And there's so many ways to think about it, but I've literally been on a mission to figure out weight loss and weight maintenance my entire life since I was about an 11-year-old girl and my dance teacher told me to cut out my snacks in front of all of my colleagues, and I was horrified. And so I've been searching for that magic solution. I've been searching. I've been wanting to know what's the secret, and that's what drove me to become a personal trainer and go to graduate school in nutrition and become a dietitian, because somewhere out there was that secret, and I was ready to unlock it, and I was looking everywhere for it. But alas, no, there really isn't. But there is a solution, and it comes down to what you eat. There are so many supplements out there, and some of them may work temporarily. There's definitely programs where if you drink these shakes or eat these bars or take these pills or a combination of all of those things, you will lose weight. There's a lot of ways to lose weight. But the best part is to have a sustainable weight loss, something that you could implement into your life, something where you don't have to be a slave to, you know, ordering these pills or supplements or whatever. You can just change your lifestyle, look at food differently, and that's where the magic really happens. But you get to control that. It's not like there's anything out there special that you need to subscribe to. So the good news and the bad news is there's no magic potion. But the good news is that you get to have that control. And if you just think about how you're eating and when you're eating and what you're eating, what's on your plate or in your bowl, that's really all you need to do. So put that stuff aside and really think about what you're doing. What are you eating? And I have my clients start with a food journal and just You know, sometimes we don't know exactly what we're eating. Maybe we think we're eating healthy. All sorts of people come to me and say, I'm eating a healthy diet. I don't understand what's wrong with me. And then also a lot of people think they're broken. You know, oh, it's, you know, I work with a lot of women that are perimenopausal or postmenopausal, and they think, oh, it's my hormones. There's nothing I could do, or my metabolism or my thyroid. Well, no, because you can go get a lab test and assess your thyroid and assess what's going on health-wise for you. And just because your hormones are changing doesn't mean what you eat doesn't matter. In fact, what you eat matters most. Number one, most important thing you could do is look at what you're eating. So I have my clients start with writing down what they eat, when they eat, how much they eat, about. I'm this weird dietitian that doesn't recommend counting, calculating, weighing, or measuring. Just look at about, like I use the fist as a cup, guesstimate how much you're eating, and then look at it. And you really can assess what you're eating and see what's going on. And there's always a repercussion, but it's always the food. You're not broken. I could tell you that. And if your thyroid is awry or whatever, if you see that in a lab test, there's medications for that to adjust. But most people, that's not the situation. Most people, almost always, it's the food. And so when I look at people's food journals, which is what I love to do, it's my work. I love to look because I can always assess what's going on. There's always a reason that kind of comes to fruition when you look at it on the paper. So first is, you know, I have my clients write their why. Why do you want this? Do you want to go through this process? Because weight loss is not really fun or sexy or entertaining. You have to create a deficit. There's no way around that. There's no way around that. That's the good and bad news too. It's like, if you're not losing, then you are eating too much. That's really what it boils down to. And that sounds very oversimplified. And I want to say this too. No matter what you're doing with your food and what a healthy diet may look like for you, we are human beings living in this world that is quite obesogenic, right? We are living in a society where you're the odd person out if you say no to dessert, or if you are, you know, eating a healthy diet, or you're on a plant-based diet, or whatever it is. People really have opinions about what you eat. I always say that everyone eats, therefore everyone has an opinion on what you should be eating. Everyone has an opinion on how much you should weigh. And I want to give that power back to you. You get to decide how much you weigh and you get to decide what you eat. So no matter what your intentions are, we still live in this world and we are interacting with people. We can't live in a bubble, although we kind of had a little taste of that over the last couple of years, but we don't live really in a bubble. We are constantly bombarded by food messaging, whether it's on your computer or you're on an app or social media or TV or your friends and family. There are constant bombardment of messages about food and you and your body and what you should and shouldn't do. And so you have to know why you want this and you have to stay the course. And there's no wrong or right reason. You know, I have my clients write down, what does this mean for you? What is a visceral, what do you want with your life? Like, why? What will it look like when you're at the end of this weight loss journey? Which I set aside as a finite period of time, by the way. But what does it look like at the end to you? When you are in the driver's seat, you know exactly how to lose weight, and then you know exactly how to maintain your weight. Because, by the way, those are two very different physiologies. But what does it look like to you? Does it mean fitting into your skinny jeans, or does it mean being there for your children or grandchildren, or being able to keep up with your spouse or loved ones? It doesn't matter. There's no right or wrong. It has to be visceral and meaningful to you. So write down and really think about, what does it look like to you to be in full control of that? What do you want in your life? Because then you get to make it happen. So once you have that why, then you write down your food journal and you look at what you're eating. And then from there, you can make choices to change those things so that your pattern will lead to the results that you're looking for. And then it's very strategic. My clients lose 0.4 to 0.8 pounds a day of body fat when they want to. This is the way I do it with most of my clients. If the people that want to streamline this and make it go really quickly, it's all with diet. So if those people want to do that, we look at what they're eating, when they're eating, and then we deal with all the other stuff that comes up, all those psychosocial issues that they're constantly bombarded with. Because there's going to be temptation, always, always. There's holidays, there's birthdays, there's celebrations, there's all the times, all the things, all the temptations, always in your face. So it goes back to, why do you want this? You have to want it badly enough to say no to all of those temptations all the time, over and over and over again. But let me go back to the period of time. Weight loss is a very different physiology than weight maintenance. Most of us have maintained our weight for years at a time. So if you're stuck at a weight, that means you've been maintaining that weight. So, you know, there's fluctuations, 5 or 10 pounds. We fluctuate because of those holidays or celebrations or whatever, stress, all those things impact how much we eat, when we eat, why we eat, what we eat. So there's gonna be this fluctuation. So maintenance is way easier, way, way easier than the weight loss process. I have my clients pick a period of time where they're going to lose. So we go back to, I use the Hamwi formula to assess ideal body weight. So that's basically for a woman, it's for 5 feet, it's 100 pounds plus 5 pounds for each additional inch. And for a man, it's 106 pounds for 5 feet and then 6 pounds in additional, every additional inch. So I'm 5'4", I should weigh about 120 plus or minus 10%. And there's a lot of wiggle room in that plus or minus 10%. Which is great. In that wiggle room, you get to decide. So once my clients start entering in that healthy zone, and this is just a guideline, again, I have my clients choose, you know, this is, I'm never gonna tell someone how much they should weigh. This is just a guideline for what's optimal for long-term health. Once you choose that weight, and once you start getting into that healthy range, then I say, okay, so how do you feel at this weight? How do your clothes feel? How do you feel with your recovery and performance and exercise? All of that, we have all those kind of decisions that we make, and it gets a little bit more subjective once you're in that realm of that healthy weight range. And then once you have that target, then we choose the diet and the lifestyle to meet those goals. So what does this look like in a day-to-day basis? How do you lose weight in terms of practical means and measures, especially if you're not measuring, weighing, calculating, all of that stuff, which, by the way, it's such a relief. You really don't have to. I'm telling you, it is such a relief. If you really want to sit there plugging things into your app and counting and calculating and driving yourself a little bit, you know, it can get yourself crazy. A lot of people get crazy with it, especially if they're not seeing the results. You can do that, or you can just release and go within. So what I outline in Choosing Now Diet is a whole food plant-based diet, time-restricted eating, and mindfulness, a mindfulness approach. How many times do you eat because, well, it's breakfast time, or because it's 12 o'clock, it's lunchtime, or everyone else is eating? We eat for so many reasons. But if you stop and check in with your body, you might be shocked. And that's what I see every day with my clients. They're eating not for hunger. They're eating way past satiation. They're doing all this stuff because we are socialized to do all of this stuff. And if you go within and you really listen to when you're truly hungry, and you stop when you feel satisfied, that's where this magic happens. And you get in touch with yourself. Like, you actually will be, this is why you'll be able to use this for the rest of your life. It's like really tuning into hunger and satiety in a way that you may never have done before. In fact, I can't tell you how many clients I've worked with, people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, that say to me, I never really knew what hunger felt like, or I never really knew what satiated felt like. And that's mind-blowing to think about, but you may be there too. I was there too. I have to put in actual external behaviors to change that. Because remember, everything about food is habit. Everything. And the good news is you can change your habits. New habits feel uncomfortable. But if you keep doing them over and over and over again, you practice these habits, it becomes systematized, it becomes automatized, and then all of a sudden it becomes second nature. So anytime you're trying to change your diet, it's basically like learning a new language. I like to liken it to learning a new language. And it's like, okay, so I've never tried a durian, or I've never tried a caviar lentil, or I've never had whatever, fill in the blank, something new ingredient. So you're learning new words, and you're like trying these new words, and then you're putting them together and piecing them together into sentences and paragraphs, and then you have a new recipe. And it tastes really good. And you're like, oh, okay, I like this recipe. And then all of a sudden, as you're practicing those recipes and finding those new foods and your new favorite ways of eating, your new favorite meal plan, all of a sudden you become fluent. And that's it. It's so easy. It's just practice. It's just rethinking your plate, rethinking your day-to-day life, changing those habits. Everyone could do it. Anyone could do it. And you just have to want it to do it. So you're learning this new language, you're changing your patterns, you're getting these new habits into play, you're eating when you're hungry, you're stopping when you're satiated. Those are the basic principles. Let me tell you a couple of little tricks that I use, since I'm not one of those naturally lean people. Okay, how do you know when you're truly hungry if you don't? And here's what I use. I use something called the celery stick test. I know, what the heck is that? Okay, so I like celery. It's crunchy, it's fresh, it's great. In fact, I just used it for my lunch that I'm gonna be eating later as an ingredient. But it's not something that I crave. It's not like, ooh, I'm dying for a piece of celery. You know, it's not like something that's like really exciting. However, have you ever noticed that like on the other side of that, after a big, huge meal, like let's say you had a big holiday festivity and then you had an extra piece of dessert at the end and you're just so full that nothing sounds good, right? Just like I had my grandma, she used to always, we'd be eating lunch and she'd be talking about what we're having for dinner. I'm like, Grandma, I don't want to talk about dinner. I'm eating, like I'm full. So if you think about it like that, like nothing sounds good when you're that full. On the flip side of that, the hungrier you get, the better everything sounds, right? So that celery stick starts to sound really luscious when you're really hungry. So much so, have you ever been to that place where you're like, I could eat the box of the pizza because I'm just so hungry? So it's basically like the more hungry you are, the more everything sounds good. That's the celery stick test. So you stop yourself and say, am I hungry? Does a celery stick sound good right now? Yes, it really does. You know you're hungry. But if nothing sounds good, you don't need to eat. So what I have my clients do, the plan that I have my clients, I'm going to tell you everything I actually do. I have them decide what time they're going to eat every day because we are gorgeously connected to our circadian rhythm. Gorgeous. It is amazing. So what we do every day, our hormones cascade in a certain way. We're tied to the moon, lunar cycles. We're tied to the sun. All of these cycles really have been well studied, and there's a circadian rhythm that we engage in subconsciously, mostly unconsciously. And so if you eat, again, habits, if you plan what time of day can you eat every single day and you stick to that, give it 2, 3, 4, 5 days max, your body's like, oh, like right now, by the way, is I'm supposed to be eating. So my stomach, I don't know if you could hear growling, I am hungry because this is my time to eat every day and I'm not eating right now. So you get hungry at that time of day. But if you stick to the same times a day, the beautiful thing, you're not going to notice that you're hungry the rest of the day. You're not hungry all the time because a lot of us are like, oh yeah, I mean, I was a personal trainer. I'm still a personal trainer, but I was on the personal trainer diet for many years where it was like every 2 hours, time to eat, time to eat, time to eat. And you know, your body gets used to that. But now I eat once or twice a day. Usually I prefer once a day, but twice a day because we're social beings again, and I have a lot of events that happen in the evening. So if I eat twice a day, that's when I'm hungry. I'm not hungry any other time. And if you would have told me this 10 years ago when I was eating every 2 hours, I would have thought that was insane. There's no way I could eat once a day and be okay. But I prefer it. I feel better when I do it. So not that you need to eat once a day or twice a day. Just pick the times that you could eat consistently every day and stick to it. And then your body will adjust. That's one little hack, if you will. And that's one just kind of lifestyle thing that is tremendously efficacious and helpful. Then you don't have to track things. Makes life so much easier. Then you have to navigate the social things. Like I said, like you have to navigate. Are you going to be out with friends? Are you eating dinner with your spouse or your children, or your whole family sits down for a certain meal? Plan it according to that so it's sustainable. I like to make that sustainable for my clients. And then what are you eating? This is so important too, right? What are you actually eating? This is everything. So I go back to my list. I want you to eat a diet based on vegetables, fruits, whole grains, legumes, mushrooms, nuts, seeds, herbs, and spices in infinite tasty combinations. Now, how processed we get is a really important question, because a potato chip is a potato, is a vegetable, right? Technically. However, we've added all this oil and we've added all this salt, and now it's become this, like, you know, very calorically dense food. So I recommend sticking to as whole a food as possible. I have my clients cut out flour and oil and refined sugars, limit salt, and that's the parameter. So what does that look like? Oh, that sounds a little bit restrictive. No, it's really not. I said infinite tasty combinations because there really are. I've now published 7 books, hundreds of recipes. I'm not a recipe developer. I'm not a chef. There's so many ways to make these foods delicious. It's just off the charts. So curries and soups and stews and chilies and wraps and sushi, and there's no limit to what you could do with that variety of food. There's so many different delicious ways to do it. And we have this world of delicious cuisine available. All you have to do, like I did this one video once where I had rice and beans in 3 different bowls. I prepared them 3 completely different ways. I made them Mexican style. I added some cilantro and I added some some tomatoes and some, you know, like some like Mexican flavors, which is my favorite cuisine. And it was delicious, but it had this whole different flair. And then I made one that was a curried rice and beans. And I think I used chickpeas and I used like a yellow curry. And it was, again, completely different flavor profile. Fabulous, right? But it may, depending on what you're in the mood for. And then my third bowl was, I think I made a Japanese bowl, completely different. And I think I put some sesame seeds and I put some soy sauce and I just flavored it completely different, some adzuki beans. So basically you could take the same staple ingredients and then change it up with the seasonings or sauces or flavors. And there's no limit to how you do that. All of that is on the table when you're eating a whole food plant-based diet and you're doing it for weight loss. So we are all creatures of habit. Again, we're going back to the habit. Most of us eat maybe 10 recipes a week, maybe, right? Most of us eat the same breakfast, maybe one or two. Most of us eat the same lunch, maybe two, three, four lunches we rotate through, maybe five or six dinners a week. Think about that. If you just find 10 recipes, you don't even need to find 10 recipes. Most of my clients end up with four to six that they love. Find your recipes, your people, your repertoire. And when you love it and it's delicious and you're just gonna rotate through them, that's all you need. Just like that, that's all you need is find 4 to 6 to 10 recipes and rotate through them. Now, once you've got your recipes, your repertoire, which takes time and you may change. I've been eating the same, really, I live on these two recipes for years now. Like that's what I crave, I love them. I want you to love your food, by the way. It's not like you need to be gnawing on those celery sticks to lose weight or to be healthy. No, I want you to love your food. You have to love your food, otherwise what's the point? You're gonna be miserable. Like there's no way you'll be able to stick to something when you're miserable. And I don't want you to do that. You don't have to. So you find your recipes, you find your people, that's your repertoire. You're gonna rotate through them. Now, here's where it happens. You've picked what time you eat at the same time every day, you pick the foods you love, and then we talk about meal volume, okay? So every day you're eating and then you're documenting it and then you get on the scale. There's no reason to be afraid of the scale. It's not judging you when you get on this on top of it in the morning and saying, ooh, you must have eaten too much tonight, last night, whatever. No, it has no judgment. So I try to get rid of all the guilt and shame surrounding weight and body. That's my biggest passion. That's what drives me every day, is that there should be no guilt or shame about eating, your body, all of that. That's so important. The scale is just a number. And I know it's really easy to say, but it takes time for a lot of people. But if you could divorce yourself from the weight of getting on the scale, no pun intended, it's a tool to use in your armamentarium towards achieving your goals. We need to measure things to know what's going on. Again, we're not measuring food and calculating calories. We're just getting on the scale to have information. Then you choose your recipes. If the scale doesn't go down, you need to eat less of it or change the recipes. That's it. That's the secret to weight loss. Now, because we're creating a deficit and you may have to eat a lot less than you normally eat, just during this finite period of time, I want you to get off. I have my clients get off this roller coaster. I was on it my entire life, this up and down and up and down. And the key is to get down and then really focus in on maintenance. There's a whole magic, that's a whole other conversation. But you get on the scale every day, you have information, you document it, and then you see how it goes. And if it's not working, then you have to rethink things. But it's very analytical, it's very objective, and it's very practical, and then you don't have to measure away. So part of my protocol is using time-restricted eating. Time-restricted eating is a version of intermittent fasting, which is a real popular catchphrase nowadays. Basically, it means you are limiting your fed window. And it's kind of funny, people say, I fasted all day, I didn't eat until 9 o'clock. I'm like, that's not really fasting. Like, or I skipped a meal. That's not really fasting. Technically, fasting is, you know, mostly around like 3 days worth of not eating at all. And if you're going to do a 3-day fast, which is great, or more than a 3-day fast, make sure it's supervised and you talk to your healthcare professional, of course. But less than 3-day fast, people do all the time. There are so many benefits that have been shown in the research for a long time. This is nothing new by any means. I mean, there were people like Mark Twain and so many people from the past. There are all these wonderful books that I've read from these authors from many, 150 years ago. And even Hippocrates was talking about fasting, how many hundreds of years ago? So it's nothing new. There's nothing new. Religions incorporate fasting into practice, you know, periodically. Fasting has just been a thing since the beginning of time. And But basically, a technical fast is really at least a day or two or three if you're going to consider it fasting. But there's a way to get all of these advantages of fasting into a daily life. And it's, to me, a little less painful than going 3 days a week without eating. I like to eat, like I told you. So that one way to do that is time-restricted eating. And what does that look like? Well, it basically means you're giving yourself more time in a fasted state. Why is this advantageous? So many reasons. Think about it. We are mostly in this chronically state, like this fed state. We are constantly eating. We eat. And then, by the way, after that last swallow, it's 4 to 6 hours until digestion and absorption is complete. So by the time you're midway through that process, you're eating again and again and again. You're constantly in this fed state where you're digesting and absorbing and digesting and absorbing and eating and digesting, constantly, constant, constant. It takes a lot of energy for your body to do that. It has to shunt all that energy to the gut. It's a major process to take food through that amazingly long, gorgeous, brilliant GI tract and get rid of what we don't need, extract the stuff we do need, all the fluids and the vitamins and minerals and macronutrients, all that stuff that we're taking out from the GI tract. It's a big, lengthy, hearty process. So when you're not in the fed state and you haven't eaten after 6 hours from the last swallow, your body has time to do all sorts of important things, metabolic house cleaning, getting rid of cancer cells and viruses and bacteria and doing all that immunity work that it needs to do, you know, just detoxification that it naturally does. Like, our bodies heal themselves. Our bodies are absolutely magnificent beyond our comprehension. We really are only at the tip of the iceberg of what we understand about how our body works. So in our complex, extraordinary, miraculous bodies that we live in, it is really nice to give it some time to do what it needs to do and stop getting in its way. Stop bombarding it with food and pills and potions and powders and all that stuff. So it's really nice to have some time in that fasted state. It really gives you a lot of time to do all sorts of other things. That's what we do during sleep. Our brain gets to, you know, rejuvenate and refresh, and things happen while you're sleeping. And that's why we're forced to get out of our way, and we let our bodies do and our brains do what it needs to do while we sleep. Same with taking some time off of eating. So from that last swallow, it's good to have some time in a fasted state. How long? That's a good question. You know, there's a lot of research that a 12-hour fast, which sounds funny, right? Like, if you're eating for 12 hours, fasting for 12 hours means you're like skipping a meal, or you're just having a little bit extra time. Like, when you wake up, you're just giving yourself a little extra time, or before you go to bed, you're giving yourself a little extra time. So it's kind of interesting to think about it like that. People really struggle with this idea. So 12 hours, it shows advantage. 8 hours shows advantage. Eating once a day shows advantage. Does it matter if it's morning or evening? There's advantage maybe if you eat towards the morning more, but not everyone could do that. So put it this way, make it work for you. Give yourself as much time in the fasted state that is comfortable for you, that works with your lifestyle, that's something you could do on repeat. Or you may be one of those people that wants to do it more like once a week, I don't eat at all. Or maybe you want to do it. There's so many ways to do this. And there's so much evidence that's kind of pouring out, or dripping out, I should say, over time to show different ways to do this. But it's really nice to pick one way that's doable for you and implement it into your day-to-day life, because, you know, try it. You know, you can't mess it up. You can't break your metabolism. If you're on weight loss mode, you can't break your metabolism by taking time off of eating. That's a complete myth. So it's a real wonderful tool in the armamentarium towards not only weight loss and weight maintenance, but optimal health in the long run. So what I'm telling you, this is super simple, and I like to make things super simple. That said, it's not necessarily easy, and it's a journey, and it's not an easy journey for most people. A lot of stuff comes up anytime we're eating, because you may have this plan set up, but anytime you eat off plan for stress, or you're tired, or because everyone else is doing it and you want to break bread and be tribal like we are, or whatever comes up, things are going to come up. And anytime you eat off plan because of those things, just go back to your why. You have to want this more than those things, and find other things. So as you're going through this and you're about to eat for any other reason other than it's your plan, what's really going on? Go deep. This is what I do with my clients. That's where the transformation happens. What's going on? What are you dealing with? What are you pushing down? What are you avoiding? What are you not doing? So if you're tired, you need rest. If you're stressed, you need to be comforted and soothed. And if you're bored, you need to be entertained. These are all human things, desires, needs, what we do on a day-to-day basis. We are human after all. We are not machines. And that's what makes us beautiful and human and unique and ourselves. And so there's nothing wrong with you. You're not broken every time you go eat something that's not healthy or on your plan or any of that. You are human after all. You are a biological being living in a world surrounded by all of this temptation and all of the people around you who know what's best for you or can't understand why you're not eating that or are trying to get you to have one piece of the dessert that they made especially for you. There's so many reasons that we eat. This is what my TEDx talk was about. It's like food is culture and relationships and love and entertainment. It's everything. It's not just nourishment. So that said, navigate it with intention. Be conscientious. Choose you now. Choose you now again and again and again. And you will have the results that you want. If you want it, you can do it. You absolutely can do it. It just starts right now in this moment.